It's Wednesday, April 15th, 6:30 p.m. We're at Lot 2, Castle Valley Drive, and also on Zoom. We'll do a quick roll call, and then we'll start with open public comment.
So here we have Jasmine Duncan, Robert O'Brien, Pamela Gibson, Harry Holland, Tori Hill. In the audience, we have Ron Drake, Egmont Horner, Carly Thompson, and the Llewellyns. And on Zoom, we have Laura Cameron.
Thank you. Okay, that's it. Do we have any open public comment tonight? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 2, approval of our minutes from the regular town council meeting of March 18,
2026. I just had one correction. Item 3, it should be to get extended, not to on yet.
Yes.
Oh, darn it.
And that was it for me.
Good catch.
Okay, sorry. Any?
I move we approve the minutes as corrected.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item 3, executive reports. We'll start out with Obi, because you're the only one here from the Water Advisory Committee.
Yes. Well, I was terrible. I missed the advisory committee meeting for no good reason. Somehow, I just spaced it. I did go to the MOP meeting today, and a kind of interesting thing, but I'm not prepared much to talk about it. Cash went over all of the Cash Stallings, who is the Southeastern
regional engineer.
Yeah, regional engineer for the Division of Water Rights. And he was talking about HV 60. And he said, you know, one of the things it did is kind of cleared up what things would be, and I'm going to try to do this. Basically, if something were against the public interest, what would that mean in their kind of language? And he said, well, you could base it on whether it's a beneficial use, whether it's for or against, the quantity, quality, and availability of water, which, remember, Cash Stallings said, well, the Division of Water Rights doesn't pay any attention
to
quality, right? Or any other factors that basically the state by statute tells you you ought to do. Now, I went up and asked about this and said, yeah, it's changed. But then I went to this, state law, and I'm going to try to do it. And I think this is what I have, discovered. Now this is going to take me a tiny bit, and I may not be able to do it. I think I won't try to do it too much here, but my reading is when they said, unless it violates kind of the public welfare, and then it goes down and says, so you're going to give water rights to somebody. The question is whether it violates the public welfare, and then it defines that public welfare as one of them is it basically, if it gets in the way of quantity, quality, or availability, that those are reasons to reject a new appropriation of water for somebody. So if I've read this correctly.
Or availability?
Or availability. So if there's not enough water, if it would hurt other people's quantity or quality, then I think it's going to be that's something they ought to be considering. What I'm going to do I did this in about the last 15 minutes, but I'm going to go and kind of read that law, get out the regular sections, and if it's exactly what I think it is, I'll send it out to the Water Committee and I guess to people on the council just so they can know of its availability. Remember, we haven't decided we really want to push Cash too much one way or the other, but it would be interesting if this new law basically tells UDWR that this is an important consideration in water. Other than that, it was a very interesting meeting, but it covered all kinds of things that probably don't have a lot to do with us.
Right. Which is why I usually don't call. Because I'm looking for all the other interesting things.
I got to say, I'm really appreciating the minutes coming out of the water.
Yeah, it
really makes me feel like I know what's going on,
yes.
Which is awesome.
Yeah,
that's and amazing. And who's doing those minutes?
Sarah.
Someone tells me how wrong I am all the time.
I think that John has stuff. John, did you have anything to add to the water agent report?
He's muted.
You're still muted. You're still muted.
There. That should be better.
That's beautiful.
I was very interested in HB 60. I assume that's what Obi's talking about. Because it seemed like they introduced these things that would be very difficult to prove. Like someone drills a well, how can you prove it's interfering with somebody else's water quality? Or even sometimes it's difficult with quantity, but we'll have to ask them that if we ever need to know. But that bill caught my eye for that very language that seems to the public welfare clause was interesting because that's not something you often see in a Utah legislation. I have nothing really to add. I mean, as Tori just said, you're getting the minutes from the Water Advisory Committee, and they're quite comprehensive, and I have nothing to add to that. Really, unless you have questions.
Any questions?
So HB 60 was this last season?
Yeah.
So it is recent, and the way Cash put it is, it was important because it clarified what public welfare was. It's the first time they've had some language, so they know how to define it.
Do you have any feeling on why it was introduced?
He basically said it just clarified things. And then he said a couple of other things about other reasons. And the way he titled these things were, these are the things that affect UDWRI in these water bills, because of course they're meant for many different organizations. And then basically nicely laid out in each case how it changed UDWRI's approach.
So it was kind of supported by UDWRI.
There weren't any of them that he didn't support.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing he just said about, he did talk about the Colorado River, and all he would say is, this is the most disastrous water year we've had, and maybe since 1930.
Yeah.
And basically, they're very worried about hitting the bottom of the power pool or dead pool floor. For power, they'll probably take 1 million acres out of Flaming Gorge. That's all they're allowed to do. There's some rule that doesn't allow them to take more. And if this happens again another year, they have no idea what they'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Harry, I think to try and answer your question, usually when they do something for the sake of clarification, it's because they've been challenged or questioned in some way on it. I mean, that's their legislative preemption of future questions and challenges. Again, that's just a guess, but I think that's pretty much usually what spawns these so-called clarifications.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
Stop it.
So we'll move on to the road department report and our Castle Creek culvert update. Any questions for Dorje and where are we at today?
As of today, Friday, we are planning on doing a cold patch, essentially the pavement over it. I believe the guardrail folks showed up today, so they're there. It's filled into the baseline, so it's just the last 3 inches of asphalt that's missing. Other than that, I think we're on track to open the road again next week.
You're going to cold patch the whole
Yes, the whole pad.
But it's much cheaper.
Yes.
No, because if we don't, we're waiting until we have enough money to chip seal company.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'd rather have something on there than just gravel. And at 3 inches, there, I mean, that's kind of the average thickness. It should be okay. And we'll monitor
the rest of the road.
Yeah, we'll monitor it. And there is, with cold patch, you do kind of have some option to modify it later if really necessary. Preferably not, but we'll make sure that that's good and level before chip sealing happens. That's the critical point.
Right. Nice. Thank you.
I do have questions because I just want to clarify rumors. That I was told there's a rumor that the contractor ran out of money, and that's the reason why the cement. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a rumor. That they ran out of money, so they didn't bring the concrete all the way up where they were going to do it, and that they couldn't pave the road because they ran out of money.
They're not paving the road because it wasn't part of the bid.
Our original bid, I want to say, had somewhere between $60,000 and $70,000 for repaving that section of road.
Yeah.
We haven't done labor yet, but as far as material, it's 8,000 something, maybe 9,000.
For 60 tons of cold patch.
Yes. That's still within materials budget.
That's
significant
savings.
Yeah.
So.
And then, let's see. Yeah,
but I'm not aware of them running out, just to make that clear. And everything else is
I have a bill
there
tonight, Florida.
Yeah.
I have a bill.
I like these rumors. Get some more.
Yeah, that's what I want to be clear about. And cold patch, I heard that it was a good thing, good idea, that it will just get pushed to the side.
It'll be adhesive or cohesive enough that it'll stick together. It may deform slightly, so that would be the like modification after some time, like especially with heavy vehicles on it, things like that.
And the summer heat.
Yeah, but I mean, we have a number of even small patches that really don't move.
Yeah.
I'm not too concerned about the whole slab moving.
Okay.
But we will be monitoring it, and with cold patch, there is some option to adjust if necessary.
So they're doing that. They're going to have that stuff. And what is the date for opening the road and closing?
That we don't have right now because we have to have a final walkthrough with the contractor. And that is tentatively scheduled for next week. But it's based on when they get done.
Okay. As soon as they say it's done, how quickly can we put that green gate back? It's gotten more, I mean, tourists are here now, so they're just...
Right now it's our only access. Once the road is open, I probably won't close the gate until I've removed all of the detour signs to make sure that nobody gets any kind of idea that that's still a detour.
Couple days for getting everything.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it like as soon as that opens that we'll shut that. It might be maybe even 24 hours.
Oh. Okay.
But
I don't like the next 30 minutes and we're done.
Oh, no. Yeah, is it going to be weeks or days or
no,
what?
No, it'll be in the measure of hours.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because essentially our agreement with the property owners is unless it's needed, don't have it open.
Yeah,
right. You've got to pour that deep post again.
Yeah.
That's going to be a chunk of cement stuff, so it's going to be a little bit of...
Well, we can close the one at the fire station.
You can that cement back in there. Can you do that?
Yeah. I'll need to get blue stakes for that, and we will be putting that post back. It'll go back in its original place.
Probably call blue stakes for that.
Yeah.
Before...
I'll probably do that tomorrow.
Okay.
Speaking of tourists, you know, Mitch was building that house at the bottom there, and I drove by one day, and there's 4 cars and probably 20 people, and they're all using the porta potty on the construction site. Like it was set there for them. And I'm like, you know, this is private property. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're almost done. Four cars, seriously. And all these, like the line of people going to the John. It was pretty funny. Anyway, I have another question regarding Buchanan Lane. I noticed they blue staked it all the way up.
Yes.
Just wondering about the 4-inch rock that's sticking up there right below my drive. That's why
we got it blue staked, is to take care of those rocks.
That is going to be so nice on my tires because, yep, seriously, we're going all the way around, almost into the other side too.
Those rocks are the exact reason why we're getting
blue staked. You had a mistake. Okay, I was hoping that was the reason. So
yes.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be ripping the whole road up. I mean, we'll keep one lane of traffic. Yeah, we're going to cause some destruction there here in not too long.
Right on.
So once the road's officially open, will they still be doing work down in the creek bed?
Yeah.
Potentially.
For offering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they may, like, the pavement may be down, but they may keep it closed for a few days just to, like, not have to deal with traffic and everything like that.
Although we push them to deal with it and
work
then open
it
as soon as possible.
I did have one other question. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not.
And this is not your road. This is a question because it came out again. Rumor. That it was saying, oh, we got this. We have the Schaefer thing, and then we got the 128, and then there's going to be the Pace Hill thing, but that's not until 2028. What?
So I haven't heard any
follow-up
on that project,
that
and I don't think they did either.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
I don't know, though.
You don't know, but you haven't.
I haven't heard a word about it.
Okay. That's your source. Thank you.
You have some interesting friends, it sounds like.
Neighbors.
It's all that straight, man.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions?
Not old enough.
Thank you, Jordan.
Yep.
Any questions about the Planning and Land Use Commission minutes?
Seems like it's pretty busy for you right now.
Oh, you mean the BPA report?
Yeah. Yeah, that's heating up, literally and figuratively.
So the PLEC is going to have a public hearing in May for their adjustments to 85-3 and 95-6. Adding Louis language in. So they're going to have their public hearing, and then it'll come, if it's ready, it'll come to the council in June.
For final approval.
Yeah.
And will that be a public?
No, they do the public hearing at the Planning Commission.
They're just one.
Yeah.
Unless you want another.
No.
And then in June, they will have their public hearing on the general plan survey summary.
And then that'll become
into us as well. Then it'll become into us, you guys, in June. So, yeah.
Do we know when we'll get the results from the survey?
Well,
you mean when they're posted?
That's part of the summary.
Part of the general
plan.
Yeah.
When the summary has its public hearing, that'll be part.
Okay.
The presentation will be
part
the
of the
summary and then the results.
Okay. Well, and their update to
the
plan itself.
Yeah.
That's what requires the public hearing.
Yes.
Yeah, so we got a lot coming up soon. Pamela, anything different? We still have our June. What was it? June 2nd.
It has to be done by June 2nd, so it will be next month. We'll need to vote on that ordinance. And has that been had legal review yet?
It's in process.
Yeah, we'll have to bump her again.
Yeah.
She asked for some follow up stuff. Jocelyn sent it to her, so we're waiting for her.
There was an updated template to the that we sent her a while back, and then she also wanted to see the utility agreement to parent, you know, to have that information. So, yeah. So it was decided not to have a public hearing on that, correct? That what I understood.
I mean, it doesn't require one.
It doesn't require it. It's up to the council. It's not budgetary. It's not land use. So it's up to. I'm just checking.
No, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the council had already determined we were going to participate in that.
Right.
With the public process, and we've been pretty open about the fact that we were doing that for years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I think it's important to make sure that we're putting out public information about this, though.
Yes.
And we have sure some good materials that we can put in our pack.
So Pamela and I are going to meet, the 28th?
28th.
Yeah, and maybe Colleen will get pulled into that too, and we're going to look at the public information that's available and figure out how to put it out. There's different things we've been saying
to put out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important part.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just to reiterate, it won't take effect. The program itself. You won't start seeing things, and as I said, it's going to be $4 a month more, but that won't start until Rocky Mountain Power. They have to do all their billing stuff. There's a lot of moving pieces behind the scenes. We're looking maybe November, December before it would start. And then the time period, I think they've always said there would be 2 months, two billing cycles. And that you could opt out before you have to pay the fee. Well, that's Rocky Mountain Power has agreed to it'll be 6 months in effect.
Oh, okay. So we've got plenty of time to do that.
That's good. Plenty of time.
2 months might catch people off
guard. Yeah. So, yeah. After 2 months, we'll have it.
So with the state going totally nuclear, I'm going to put it that way because it's ridiculous. I know that this whole program changed it to include nuclear.
The state did that.
Right. No, I know. The state did that. Is that going to be part of our program?
It is not. I mean, back when this happened, 2 years ago or so, when the board met, it was made clear to the board members, and the board members agreed that we are not changing just because they did. It includes renewables, and we're keeping it renewables. The only thing that I don't like is that I'm seeing they're sending out some communications, and I guess it's because an abundance of caution and not pick off anybody up there. They're calling it Utah Clean Energy.
Clean Energy.
They're calling it that.
Yeah.
Which ticks me off.
Yeah, no, they're whitewashing it.
But then they say, we're greenwashing. Yes, our name hasn't changed, but no, there will not be anything. There will be no.
And will our opt-out period only be those 2 months?
No, there's going to be four. Opt-out period. The program is going to be towards the end of 2026, first of 2027, and then there'll be, I think, after the 2 notices, there'll be 4 months, so there'll be 6 months. I would look at my Adobe Acrobat. So when I tried to do something with that letter, I lost Acrobat, so I didn't have it figured out today. I don't know.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Good excuse.
It is. It was frustrating.
Well, you had a lot stored up there, so good job.
It was not.
The dog ate it.
Yeah, the dog ate it.
Yeah.
I can show you the question mark on my Adobe.
And I did look up the company that I have stock in, and they have substantial projects with Pacific Core and Rock. So, yeah, I had a feeling that was the case.
Yeah.
Anything else on that? Ron, do you have anything from the Federal Solicitors?
No, I don't think so. I have any questions.
Yeah, any more information or any further information about the proposed cell tower?
Construction starts next week.
The what?
The construction starts next week.
Was that your question?
See, that's caught us off guard.
We're having a different question from Colleen.
Well, it's just we spoke with Daniel Thurgood. He's still processing this whole thing, and we'll probably have a community meeting, where he'll talk to the whole community, and but he's going to go through with it until it's over, and so then when you said he'll probably end up on BLM land, but he has to go through three processes, or he has to go through three different right. options. I think the first option was up here on Manchado, and the second option is Casanelli Fire, and the third option.
They don't know yet.
It could be Casanelli Academy. If those three are turned down, then they'll approach the BLM and ask them, for their land up further up the valley.
So have they put anything in writing yet?
No.
Any written proposals?
No, it's just all been verbal.
No, and until they sign a lease, there's no holding them to anything. Like they're gonna pay for all of the surveying and all that stuff and put a proposal together, bring it to the community and have a meeting. And then if they decide no, then they spent money on stuff and that's just on it.
When you say come to the community, what does he mean by that? Just go to the fire
station? Have a town hall.
Oh, it's town hall. Okay. Great.
At either the fire station or here, whatever makes the most sense.
I'm guessing there'd be at the firehouse up there, probably. I think there's more room up there because I think there'll probably be a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be a lot.
Yeah.
My question is about the burn window. Is it still open? And if so, how much longer do you
it's
think?
It's still open. It stays open until May 31st.
Ooh, great.
But they usually close it down earlier than that because it gets too hot, it's too dry.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Colleen, do you have any thing for information technology report?
Nothing of general interest. No.
Okay. And Tori's report was in the packet.
It is. We're going to have a tricky amending process with all of our grants and reimbursements and everything that both Jocelyn and I are just going, we'll do our best. That's all I can say. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Fun things with grants and that kind of thing. So,
and it bumps up our cost of auditing.
But everything else is really under budget. I mean, really, there's a couple of things that are over budget, but everything else is...
I think everybody's been kind of trying.
Trying to be under budget, which is great because we can just put all that, what's left over in the capital funds, and hopefully we can pay Castle Valley Rod.
Yeah.
One day.
That's what we need it for.
Yeah. So we're working on that, and we're moving through the tax increase also, and so we're working on it. Any questions?
No, and thank you both for attending the auditor training.
Yeah, that was...
I think they'll remember us.
Oh. There were a few ones.
You weren't the problem children?
We weren't the only problem
children. No, I kind of felt like a problem child. I don't care. Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Are you? Oh, thank you for going as well. Okay. Thanks, Tori.
You bet.
Our correspondence.
And one more thing on that. If anybody has a wish list for next year, you better get it to me quick. Because I am amending and I'm going to be working on the next year's budget really soon. Thanks.
That does bring me back to, and I would have done it if I had my Adobe, how Acrobat. I just remembered. In the period from, you know, the inception of this URC, towns, the county, they're giving money to pay all the expenses. We paid $400 for that, something for an anchor, our community, and we got some real good press on that. But now it takes, we're getting the resource. It's getting decided, but it takes time to build it and get it running. So in that time period, there is a kind of a lag. And so there's an operating agreement. It's been, Salt Lake City stepped up and they're putting up the money temporarily to pay for all the expenses that we're going to have. Mainly it's legal and experts, these guys. And it would be totally voluntary, but I have to mention it, that if we want to voluntarily want to join this operating agreement, a temporary operating agreement, sharing expenses, so that Salt Lake City doesn't have to pay everything, we would have to pay our 1%, which is another $416. So that's just, we'll talk about that more, but I just wanted to throw it out there.
That's an additional 400 and what?
16, which is over and above the notice requirement.
Right.
And that was 400.
400
at, something. At least,
yeah.
Maybe 24. That was a pretty bad time to be hitting us up.
I'm sorry. I'm not flooded, but I didn't want to do it. But
well, I mean, we evidently don't have to do it either.
We don't have to do it. It's just
yeah.
Put it in your budget.
I don't know if I have to do it until July.
Okay, our correspondence, I thought there were a couple things.
Well, there is. There's that thing you told me to put in there.
Well, you know, this lady keeps, like, emailing me about this stuff and calling me and leaving me messages, and I don't know anything about it, but I thought I would ask the council if this is something that you feel strongly enough about to consider.
Was she asking for us to do it as a town or individually?
Well, she's asking as elected officials. And when we do letter signing as elected officials, we talk about it in a public meeting.
Yeah.
We don't just go off on our own and be like, oh, yeah, I'm fair. So it's, you know, like, this is how I feel about it. I don't feel good about doing that without talking.
Well, I feel pretty strongly about making the state make the oil companies clean up their mess.
Well, that makes total sense.
I mean,
I thought they already did.
Yeah, but no, it's changed now, though. Now they're loosening all of the regulations. They're making it totally extraction-friendly. To hell with how it feels or it impacts communities, watersheds, air, all of that. So if I had my way, we would sign on as a town.
Well, that's the way I wanted to approach this. I didn't want to just do it as individuals.
And it seems like if, when I said the Utah Division of Oil and Gas and Mining, you know, if they're considering increasing the responsibility for these abandoned wells, it seems like a good idea. I read just a minute ago that Grand County's got 300 active wells, which really surprised me. I didn't know we had that many. I don't know how many.
That's a lot.
Inactive.
Abandoned wells.
Yeah. That's the big
I don't know how many there are. We could probably find out.
Yeah. No idea. But we definitely have a lot in Grant County.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I mean, I would sign up to it.
And we can expect more.
More.
Well,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They're opening up all of these.
And they said something like 5% of Utah's wells are 50 years old.
I forget but, what they said. I read it.
Yeah, it's like 5% in Utah, but in New Mexico, it's like 50% of their wells
are older.
50 years old. So maybe if we, you know, if they catch it now, it
before
won't be so
all
bad in 20 years.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of those reclamation costs are really low. I mean, that what it simple wanted under canvas to pay, I think it was only like $50,000 if they abandoned the project up there. And that's not nearly enough to to reclaim.
To clean
area.
If they'd already started.
If they'd already started,
right?
Yeah,
that would make sense to me. If and I'm not sure if maybe this is actually something that we should be talking about under town letters or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to do with it, so I just...
Okay. Tell all your thoughts.
Well, there's not a timeline on it. Why don't we get it on the agenda and actually do that?
I don't know. She keeps pushing it.
Yeah, easy. She said this spring. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
I'm certainly fine with signing up.
And I don't know, do we need a letter or would we just...
No, I'm just signing up on a letter. I'm
just signing up on
a letter.
Yeah. We can create our own.
Well, we created a template to sign on to.
Yeah.
And which was part of the public packet. So, I mean, I'd be comfortable if you wanted to all sign on a, as the town of Castle Valley.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel okay about that.
I can let her know that.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. What was our other correspondence?
Something from the upper 80 folk.
Right. People were wanting to know if we were going to put the culvert in the cleanup. Did we ever have room?
No, we ran out of room. We will collect that culvert, though.
We'll have to take care of our own mess. At some point. Or at least put it on our
property. We'll grab it and move it. We are planning some culvert work up there anyway, and we'll likely create a little bit more that we'll take down as well. So.
Okay. Okay, administrative matters. So town letters we just talked about. Are there any other letters anyone had on their minds? Our spring cleanup was a kind of rough day, but we filled all of the dumpsters and we had, 45 loads?
48 loads.
Wow.
48. So I don't know how much stuff the Honer crew took home with them.
It's not that much. It's less than the last few years.
I took some too.
Plenty of us helped recycle before it went to the dump.
Get first pick. Come and volunteer. We didn't have a couple of volunteers, but we got rained out and they went home. So it was ended up being town staff. Basically, that was left.
It did, however, slow down after it started to rain.
Yeah,
that's when Mitch and I said, let's go now. There won't be a line. And there wasn't really a line all day.
No, it was pretty smooth. I mean, there was, at 1.3 cars that were kind of hanging out for less than 5 minutes. But
good. Well, I sure enjoyed that cleanup. My yard enjoys it.
Yeah, people appreciate it. So I hired Debbie Testa to take over for Faylene as a plat clerk. She'll be in training. Faylene will is still in California, but we'll try to do some remote training. Debbie's already super on top of all of the Open Public Meetings Act stuff. She is the clerk for the Canyonlands Health Care District. As her business actually does that, runs meetings and does minutes, and we didn't hire her business, so we hired her as an employee. But we still need a groundskeeper. You couldn't tell when you came in.
Yeah.
Somebody did something.
But we do have a volunteer.
Yeah, there's Scott.
That's the amazing Scott.
Yeah.
That's about the best pop of cheatgrass I've seen in the valley. It's
right. Well, we keep thinking about fencing the place off and bringing down all my goats. But
I think we should do that.
But I think we probably at this point also need the cows.
Oh, boy.
And your horse.
Yeah, just for a moment.
That mom's porch out front wouldn't hurt either.
Yeah.
I'm all about burning now.
Yeah.
Torch it. Well, it gets all the sea. Okay, you know, yeah. we whacked all this foxtail out here, but that's going to be 50 times as thick next year.
Well, if we get water,
yeah.
Well, hopefully we will get one.
Hopefully. Anyways, that's where we're at with staffing. Dark Sky Week proclamation.
Yeah, you didn't have to sign
on. I didn't have to sign this proclamation that we do every year.
Yep.
It's part of our requirements from the Dark Sky people.
We might have a Dark Sky event in June. I'm not sure. I'm working on it. So.
Don't we? We have to do something once in a while.
Yeah. We should be doing something this week, but that's just not happening.
Right. Okay. Any other administrative matters?
I don't think so.
Anything? Colleen? Okay. New business, item 6, discussion of possible action regarding memorandum of understanding with the fire district. So we took my notes, incorporated them, took it back to the fire district. I got their approval and additions, and that's back here for us to approve.
Thanks. When I looked over it, I saw something that it's really a typo, but I'm not sure what it should have been. And it's the last paragraph of the first page, and it's, you go down three lines, and almost at the very end, it starts out sentence of an initial attack provided by the CVFPD is funded by their tax base, space, period, if cost, capital V.
Starting, where are you again?
Okay, third line. At the very end, the sentence starts. An initial attack.
Yeah.
Third line from where?
Last paragraph.
Yeah, the last paragraph. And then you get to the, goes on to the fourth line.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
first thing. Give cost is sitting there four lines from the bottom.
Oh. Yeah, it got lost in there.
Okay. And then the space in between the periods. Oh, I'm sure if it...
Yeah, we'll try to type it up.
I understand.
We have a couple of people working on the draft.
I was going to say that same sentence, when you say provided by the fire department, is funded by their tax base. It might be more clear if you said is funded by the fire department's tax base, just to make sure... Because theirs a little, I was trying to figure out who theirs was.
Pronouns can be confused.
Yeah. So maybe just put in CD.
Fire, department.
Fire.
Okay.
Yeah.
The cat died.
I had a question. The fire district came up with some language to deal with the trigger point, and Maggie sent me that language that they worked out, and I didn't know whether to put it in their line of responsibilities or the town's, so I stuck it on the end.
I think that's fine.
Okay. I just didn't know.
It's kind of a joint.
Yeah. So I didn't know if it could be here. In the town's list or in the fire district's list?
So that last paragraph before the signature?
Well, I mean, they're going to have to be the ones to say, hey, this is past our... Like, right. we don't have any way of knowing that.
Yeah. Well, that's my only question with that is I was like, I don't know where to put this. So I put it there.
I think it's fine there. But... Mm-hmm. Well, I would move that we approve this memorandum of understanding with Fire District.
I second it.
Those corrections.
Yeah. I second that too.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
So I will fix that.
And then Ron and I will
And then Ron and you will find that.
Okay. Yes. Okay, item 7, discussion and possible action regarding the Castle Creek Culvert project payment to Bay Brothers so that they will not be broke anymore. $183,970.64.
I mean, we approve that bill.
Second.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. So just for you guys' general information, with this bill, if we get back all the grant application money that I've submitted for reimbursement, the town has now spent $342,006.83.
And then I was looking at the bill, and it looks like if they're keeping to their bid, then we only have about 4,000 more that we will be billed for.
Well,
hopefully.
Their bid was $887,629.
I'm just going off of this list and the amount.
Yeah, fairly complicated with the different things that the EWP pays.
We will get back a lot more reimbursement than the first bill.
Right.
Because that was mostly us.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job keeping track of everything, Jocelyn.
Yeah.
And they're being very helpful. They've been helping out here lately.
Breaking things down.
How much are we expecting to get back of the...
From the film?
Well, from the whole thing. When it comes down to it, if we're getting reimbursed, how much come back to us?
We're a little early for that question.
Yeah, I don't have it all yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we have
If we get reimbursed everything that I've put in for, our total cost will be the $342,006.83 so far, but there's still an April bill and a bunch of riprap stuff, so it will be more than that. But we had budgeted $520 for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. Wow.
Okay. All right. We do not need a closed meeting, so we'll move to item 9, payment of the rent.
I move to pay the bill.
Second.
Further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everyone. Looking adjourned.
Yeah. Pretty good.
At 7:19.
Oh, I love the short meeting.
For that.
Well, I'm trying to figure out that by for next month.
No, I know. We can do the next one.
Next month's going to be a doozy.